Here we are on our new podcast to talk about finding information in the digital age. And I'm Jose, and I'm here with
Jonathan O'Sullivan.
All right, so I guess, Jonathan, do you want to maybe just start by saying, if you're researching a topic, or if you're curious about anything, or if you just have to look up any type of new knowledge or information, how do you start or how do you go about it?
The first place I go is YouTube, all day, every day, because I'm more of a visual type of guy, and if I can watch somebody explain it or watch them demonstrate something, that's definitely where I go. So I can maybe even just do the dishes at home if I'm watching a video on YouTube about some new software or some new technology or whatnot, or even just some educational issues. YouTube is definitely my go-to place for specific research purposes. And then after that, it would probably be Google. How about you?
I guess it depends. If I'm trying to make something, for sure YouTube. Because, I mean, there's nothing like watching somebody actually do it and install things. But if I want to learn something, maybe a topic or get data, then I would just go straight to Google. So it kind of depends. But if I'm making something, I'm going to go to YouTube, or I might go to Google, but I'm going to then click on videos.
Right.
So that it gives me the videos and that information.
Very good. And then just maybe on a side, stepping a little bit to the side of that question that you had asked, how do you find information if you're not looking for a specific thing, but if you're just browsing for new ideas, or, you know, kind of just seeing what's out there? What kind of technology do you use, or what kind of resources do you use for that?
I think social media, I mean, Facebook to a certain degree, but really Twitter for me, it's because I'm a lot more, I don't want to say careful, but I'm just more strict about who I follow and what kind of things I'm looking at on Twitter versus Facebook. I have relatives that are posting about things that I might not have any interest in, but it's just, and so on Twitter, I'm really only following people that are going to be posting things that I'm interested in, and so I'm constantly looking there for articles and just browsing really fast. And I like how the way Twitter is organized, because it's only 140 characters. I can just really skim through things really fast and go through it.
How often do you check Twitter like that?
I mean, at least once a week, depending on how much time I have. And at least once a week, I think I try to read about something new or something I haven't been really reading.
So if you have, let's say, a half an hour or 10 minutes of leisure time where you want to maybe learn something new or whatnot, and you've got your phone or tablet or computer, where do you find yourself going?
Yeah, I'll go to Twitter.
Twitter.
And then I might even search for Twitter. I like Twitter a lot for searching. I mean, because I just put a hashtag. I mean, if I wanted to find out about the new Star Wars movie that's going to come out, I might just do hashtag Star Wars. And so any kind of topic, or some Chicago Public Schools policy, maybe I might just type hashtag CPS and just try to look it up through there.
Very interesting.
How about yourself? Where do you find yourself going to?
You know, I use Flipboard a lot. And Flipboard is an app that's free for any tablet or mobile device, and it has a web page as well that you can sign into or just search. And it's really interesting, and it's visually appealing, and you can create your own curated magazines. So it's a tremendously powerful piece of technology. And I subscribe to a bunch of different technology and education and soccer and all different types of magazines on Flipboard. So that's probably my main place I would go. I do also use Twitter. And when I'm driving, I use podcasts a lot. I subscribe to, you know, education podcasts, technology podcasts, science podcasts, you know, soccer podcasts, maybe a few culture podcasts, different things. There's such a variety of options out there. You know, there's probably too many. You know, it's easy to become intimidated by the amount of different, you know, areas you can go to find out information about anything. But typically, Flipboard would be my favorite podcasting, and then probably YouTube. I subscribe to a bunch of people on YouTube as well. Mm. And then just started recently exploring Medium, as you have as well. So maybe checking out some stuff on Medium and things like that, you know.
Yeah, and I think I like Flipboard a lot too, and I think it's just, with Flipboard, I think it's really important who you subscribe to. Mm-hmm. And when I was initially using Flipboard, I kind of subscribed to almost every category, everything that interests me. And so the problem that I was getting was that it was just way too much, way too many folders, way too many magazines for me to look through. And I ended up going back in there and just kind of really narrowing my topics. And I have some extra topics, but also rearranged my notebook, my magazines. Mm-hmm. And so the the topics I'm really interested in, like web design, it was towards the back. And so just to get to it was kind of a little bit painful, and I was wasting a lot of time on things that were distracting, and so I moved it to the front. And now when I go to Flipboard, it's one of the main magazines that I check out.
Yeah, and you know what? Facebook as well is a great resource. Facebook gets a bad rap in general as a time trap, but a lot of the people that I follow on Facebook, you know, they're always putting pretty interesting articles, and you'll find even the Facebook ads or their suggested posts, I suppose if they know you well enough, you know, they put some pretty interesting things up there as well. And another little tip for Flipboard, if you subscribe to your Facebook feed and your Twitter feed, you can access all that content in Flipboard as well. Yeah. And any social, you know, media outlets that you use, you can just subscribe to them in Flipboard and they can show up there in your own personal magazine. And another little tip about Flipboard, you can publish these magazines online. Mm. So if you have your own Flipboard magazine that maybe you create, because you can send articles to a magazine that you can create in Flipboard, then you can copy a URL and paste that into your classroom website or attach it to an icon, and you can curate all these experiences and these reading articles and have your students, or just for yourself or anyone at all, you know, you can publish it to the web as a web-based magazine, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, you know. And I want to actually go back really quick to Facebook, because you mentioned it about it gets a bad rap. And it really does. I mean, especially when you're looking for things that are happening in the moment. Mm-hmm. I think Facebook has really become, and Twitter to a certain degree too, but Facebook lets you add more. And so it's just, if you want it, I mean, when Prince passed away recently, I got a message on my phone. And so at first I was shocked. I was like, did that really happen? And so I went straight to Facebook, and immediately it was confirmed. And I got all of these articles, and friends and other people were posting things. And so it was kind of nice to be able to get that information verified immediately without having to really do any kind of searches or anything. Yeah. It's just like I just opened up Facebook and it was there.
Yeah, it's a tremendously powerful tool, you know, Facebook. It's a great way to find out so much information about anything. And like, it's a little bit of a pity that in a lot of schools Facebook is blocked out by the from the servers and stuff, so you can't access it, although you can use your Flipboard workaround. And as well, YouTube is blocked out from a lot of schools as well. So I don't necessarily agree with that. I think it's probably better to, you know, leave the teachers manage that and have them maybe teach kids how to use these different social networks responsibly. Just because it's there doesn't mean that people are going to abuse it. Mm-hmm. It's a teaching tool as well at the same time, you know.
Oh, I mean, especially if we want kids to realize the plethora of information that's out there and how to kind of navigate it, or really contain their hands behind their back, because we're really limiting the amount of resources that they can get to, and so we're limiting that experience of how do I differentiate what's important, what matters, and what doesn't.
Right. Yeah, and it's not just Facebook and Twitter. Like, from time to time, when you're online, you will get blocked out of different web pages, different websites. And it's just a little bit frustrating, you know, because the internet is this amazing tool that we have access to and our students have access to. And it's probably the most powerful teaching tool that we have, really, I mean, that we can have. So I think when it's inhibited in that kind of way, it's detrimental. It's a teachable moment, you know, about, hey, we can use this to find out about this, and this is how we can use it, this is why we can use it, and it's a great fodder for a discussion about, you know, technology and how it impacts people's lives and how people learn these days.
Well, because the irony, I think, of that is that some of the ads on some of these sites that are considered appropriate, there's ads on the sites that I would consider way more inappropriate than something that kids might find on YouTube.
Yeah. And I guess that's probably the thing, is maybe a lot of those, that adware, you could probably install like adware blockers, you know, that'll keep that content out. Mm-hmm. But I suppose that is a concern, you know. Yeah. And you were saying as well about some of the kids' sites have inappropriate ads.
Yeah.
Like the typing sites that I send the kids to, they have to sit through like a 30-second video a lot of the time, and that's completely inappropriate in my eyes to hijack a kid's eyes when they're, you know, ready to start work doing their typing. And they're being subjected to this video. I don't agree with that.
Yeah. You know? No, I think those things are much more of a problem than just YouTube in and of itself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, well, Jose, we're about out of time, but thank you very much.
No, thank you.
And we'll be back next time.
Sounds good.